So in Nehemiah chapter 2, reading verses 11, we're reading verses 11 to 18, and then we're jumping into a few verses in chapter 3, and then a couple of verses in chapter 6, so if you can stay with me. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 of God's Word. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool. But there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. Jump forward to chapter 3 in the first 8 verses. Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and its doors in place, building as far as a tower of the hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hasanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meheshabel, made repairs, and next to him Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulder to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besodiah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah. Melatiah of Gibeon and Jadon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uziel of Haraniah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. And then jump forward to chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, in 52 days, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. So that's just a selection of verses of that section. Last year, we celebrated the 175th anniversary. Folks in the vestibule, come on in. 175th anniversary of laying the foundation stone of the church building here that was done on Friday the 28th of July 1843. And the people of Legacurry, men, women and children, worked hard and gave. They gave their money, they gave of their time after a hard day's work on their farms. The building went up in just a few months and was opened on the 27th of March 1844. There was vision, there was planning, there was building. And the task of building Christ's church is an ongoing one. There are souls to be won for him. There are believers to be built up in the faith, young people to be nurtured in the gospel, families to be cared for, moral standards of our nation to be defended, a world to be reached. And it's not our task alone as a congregation, but Legacurry is called to play our part in that locally and in God's grand design for the world. We're not to rest in our laurels. We're not to grow weary in well-doing. We are to be renewed in vision and renewed in what the Lord can achieve in us and through us. In recent weeks, we've heard about Project Sunrise. We've heard about the start of destination course, two destination courses. the restart of all our organisations. There were 85 children at NetWise last night, 85 kids there at that youth club. We bring in hundreds of people through these doors each week, and today we have heard about ambitious plans to add to our staff team to multiply ministry in order to help us to do what we do more efficiently and more effectively. And it's by coincidence, perhaps divine coincidence, that all the plans have worked on by different groups have all come together at the same time, because these posts weren't just conjured up in the moment in somebody's brainwave, but they've been thought about over a period of time and have just dovetailed together. But the vision, the planning towards the building have all been going on, and I want to commend the groups who've been doing that. Yeah, Chris made reference there to Nehemiah, and I have to be honest, I've been excited about preparing this series of sermons on Nehemiah for our Sunday mornings, because we learn so much from him and his story. He was faced with an overwhelming task. He had to approach a despotic king to allow him to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He had a 12 to 1400 mile trek across the desert to get to Israel and to Jerusalem. And then he was faced with huge stones thrown down and all the attendant rubble of 100 years. A 9-foot wall needed to be rebuilt right round the 1.5 to 2.5 mile circumference of the city. And its huge gates had to be reconstructed and put back in place. It was an overwhelming task and required vision and planning and building by this governor who had come from Susa to his home country and home city, but he had never lived there before. He had never been there before. He was a blow-in in that sense. And the task of building Christ's kingdom here requires the same vision, planning, and building. What about vision? Well, after Nehemiah did his clandestine survey in the middle of the night, he then called together the priests and nobles, the officials and all of the people, and he spoke to them in this public gathering so that everyone would hear and everyone would know what the vision was that the Lord had laid in his heart and what he was proposing. He pointed out the trouble that we are in Jerusalem. The walls are in ruins, the gates are burned with fire. And notice he says all along the way, we. He includes himself. He identifies himself with the people who had been there for so much longer than he had been, but he sees himself as one of them. And then he unpacks the vision to them. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. No doubt there were doubters. Some would be saying that's too big, it's too ambitious. It's even ridiculous. Some may even have laughed. They needed reassurance. They needed to be reminded that there was a great and sovereign God behind them, full of grace and power. And so I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. Nehemiah laid out the vision the Lord had laid in his heart. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. And so they began the good work. Over the past few weeks and today, as I said, we've laid out a vision for Legacurry, a congregation reaching into the wider world, in South Africa particularly this coming year, a congregation seeking to reach its own community, a congregation seeking to worship God more fully in spirit and truth as a family of faith, a congregation seeking to be better organized, streamlined, and efficient, a congregation seeking to build the kingdom of God and build into our young people kingdom values so that they too will grow to be strong disciples who will make disciples of others. Too big? Too ambitious? Well, the gracious hand of our God has been with us from generation to generation through the history of this congregation, bringing us to where we are today. And many of you here today will remember when this congregation was an awful lot smaller and an awful lot less going on in it than it is now. The gracious hand of our God has been with us from generation to generation. Can we look to him again and, like the people of Jerusalem, reply and say, let us start rebuilding? And so they began the good work. Vision for what God can do in us and through us. James Montgomery Boyce, quoting Arnold Toynbee, writes this: apathy can only be overcome by enthusiasm. And enthusiasm can only be aroused by two things. First, an ideal which takes the imagination by storm. And second, a definite, intelligible plan for carrying that ideal into practice. And so we come to planning, vision, and then planning. First, there was Nehemiah's survey, a careful survey of what needed to be done. He informed himself, as session and committee has done over the past couple of years. And then he got people to work together in teams. And the list runs, when we read the whole of chapter 3, the list runs from gate to gate in an anti-clockwise direction, the whole circumference of Jerusalem. The priests worked together, the sons of Hassanah laid beams, put up doors, bolts and bars in place. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles wouldn't put their shoulders to the work. There are always those, some who aren't willing to work. Repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah. Each had a manageable task. Each group had to do just their own bit. You know, and if you face folk with a vision that's far too big and too broad, and say, it's too big, I can't manage this. But if you say, well, look, you do this bit. You do your bit. You do the bit that you can manage. And Chris was outlining giving there and so on. And, you know, we're all in different positions that way, but we do what we can manage, what God can lay our heart on our heart to do. Each group had its own, worked in families, they worked in groups, they worked from their own with groups from their own towns, and each group did their own bit. And then there was added incentive to do a good job. Benjamin and Hashub made repairs in front of their house. Above the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his own house. You know, if you're repairing a wall to safeguard your family, and you're doing it right in front of your own door, you do a good job. You put your back into it, and you make sure that at least the wall's going to be solid in front of my front door. Nehemiah was an exceptional leader, and he planned well how he would achieve this task. And the planning that goes into the life and the work and the witness of this congregation is big. There are probably somewhere between 40 and 50 different people engaged in planning and preparing for our services on the Sunday. Whether it be PowerPoint, whether it be sound, whether it be music, choosing music, those who are preaching, those who are praying, and so on, those who are opening up, putting on heat, teaching Sunday school, teaching Bible, and so on, leading creche, preparing tea and coffee and serving it and so on. That's an army just for a Sunday morning. And so many of you will work alongside friends. You do what you're able to do. You serve in areas that you have a vision and a passion for. And it also requires future planning, not just planning for now, but future planning for a praise coordinator, a ministry coordinator, a youth coordinator. Praise coordinator, as Chris was saying, won't be taking over from those who are already passionate, engaged in leading worship, but will work with them, coordinating as others have done in the past to develop our praise and services of worship. Ministry coordinator, again, as Chris has laid out, will work in a whole variety of different areas to support and enhance the ministry of so many volunteers within our congregation. A youth worker, definitely not taking over. You can't step back and say, okay, we've got a youth worker now, they can do it all. That's not the idea. It's to equip leaders to nurture young people in the faith so that they will grow into strong disciples and take on more responsibility, working within our whole youth structure. They'll work with teams, they'll work with us as a family so that we can do what is manageable and what we're passionate about. There's vision and there's planning. And in the Bible, when we're faced with a long list of names, as we have right through the whole of chapter 3, the temptation is to skip over it. But those long list of names are there in God's word. God caused them to be recorded and written down so that 2,500 years later almost, we were able to read those list of names here today, 2019, in Legacurry. And we can learn a lot from them. We can learn a lot about the building from reading the names here. We learn, first of all, about equality and unity. There were priests, Levites, town officials, goldsmiths, perfume makers, young, old, men, women, merchants, people from Jerusalem and from the countryside. No difference in status, all equal, all united in the task of building. And isn't that how we're meant to build a kingdom here? No difference in status or rank or gender or age, working as equals, working united to make Jesus known and to build his church and the church for the future. We learn about equality and unity, and we learn about building with unselfishness and sacrifice as well. There were people from many surrounding towns, Tekoa, Gibeon, Mizpah, Jericho, Keilah, Zenoa, Beth-Shur, Beth-Hakarem, people who had their own farms and homes and families, mouths to feed, and yet they gave sacrificially of their time and their efforts, their skills and their money to be able to come and build the wall around Jerusalem. They gave precious time to help with this great task. And you know, every year here, you folks in Legacurry, you give faithfully. You donate money to projects that you will never see with your own eyes. Others may, but you will not. Many of you grab an evening meal or even do without your evening meal to come straight from work to this place to serve in one organization or another, to serve others. The service of Christ requires unselfishness and sacrifice, giving of money and of time, energy and gifts to serve the Lord. Can we do that again? Can we do it together? Can we seek to renew, revitalize, and to build both for now and for the future? Raymond Brown, in his commentary on this, says, "Those who love Christ have been set free from the curse of selfishness and find their greatest joy in doing something for others." We learn about building with equality and unity, with unselfishness and sacrifice. We also learn about building with commitment and enthusiasm. Men and women, even daughters, built here. Shalom, son of Halohesh, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. Now, whether they were skilled workers or not, they helped to build. Certainly goldsmiths and perfume makers probably weren't skilled builders. Levites and priests, the same. But they all threw themselves into this work of clearing rubble, shaping stones, and gradually the wall began to rise. And in every congregation, skilled workers are needed. Youth workers, praise leaders, administrators, builders, people skilled with money, and so on and so forth. But the work of God's kingdom has never been done just by skilled people. It's done by the army of ordinary men and women, boys and girls, who can do what they do, who can do what they can, and who throw themselves into the work. You know, we may be seeking to appoint skilled people, but they're skilled to coordinate. They are to coordinate those who throw themselves into God's work with commitment and enthusiasm. And there's always a need in every congregation for people to do whatever their hand finds to do. If there's chairs to be lifted, you just lift the chairs. If there's a floor to be brushed, you just brush the floor. Whatever it is, whether it's cooking or cleaning or fixing or printing or inviting people along or looking after children or old folks, the many who do the multitude of tasks with commitment and with enthusiasm. And let me encourage you folks to do whatever you do and to do it to God's glory. And whatever you do, do something. Enthusiasm and commitment. And then finally, we learn about building with privilege and reward. I've never been to Washington, D.C., but I've always thought the Vietnam Memorial, Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., is very impressive. Their names are written in stone, not forgotten. When we look back at the records of Legacurry Presbyterian Church, the first elders here, the Reverend Phineas Whiteside, Robert Gardner, and William McVickers. Their names are written there in our records, but the names of the whole congregation are not. Most of the people listed in this chapter, we know nothing about other than what is recorded here. The Valley Gate was repaired by Hanun and the residents of Zenoa. The Dung Gate was repaired by Malchijah, son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth-Hakarem. The Fountain Gate was repaired by Shalom, Shallon, son of Kol-Hose, ruler of the district of Mizpah, Joira, son of Paseah, Meshulam, son of Besoideah, Melatiah of Gibeon, Jadon of Meronoth, Uziel, son of Haraniah, so they go on. Their names are written with honor in the very inspired word of God. Here for us to read 2,500 years later, near enough, in 2019, reading these people's names who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Folks, the works you do here in this, your day, in your age, you may not be remembered for. The days that you spent on creche duty, or knitting and helping hands, cleaning a church hall or cutting the grass, meals you cooked, boys and girls you led in youth organizations, PowerPoints prepared, microphones set up, the times you played and sang, you may not be remembered for them. But you don't do it to be remembered. You do it to serve the Lord Christ. You do it because it's God's work. You do it to build his church, and that's the privilege. And the Lord will not forget the smallest part of your service. You know, as a minister, I'll probably get my mug shot put in the rogues gallery and through in the minister's room. And if you've never seen that, you're not missing much. Probably many of you won't get onto a rogues gallery. And actually, if you want your photograph there instead of mine, that's fine. I'm okay with that, you know. But what we do for the Lord. And the Lord will not forget even the smallest thing that we do for him. Even someone who gives a cup of water in his name, the Lord will not forget. And so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. The day will come when your work is finished, and when your part in building Christ's church is over, and you will not be forgotten by the Lord. But this day is about serving. This day is about building Christ's church, building with equality and unity, building with unselfishness and sacrifice, building with commitment and enthusiasm, building with a sense of privilege and future reward. John McCacken finished his annual report in 1965 with these words. We read them last year. May our church at the crossroads continue to make choices that commend the Christian gospel and decisions that deepen the discipleship and dedication to Christ of all its members. We trust the decisions that we've outlined today are ones that commend the Christian gospel, decisions that will deepen the discipleship and the dedication to Christ of all of us as members of this congregation. And so let us, the congregation of Legacy, like the people of Nehemiah's day, have faith and get on with the good work that God has given us to do. This work will be done with the help of our God. Amen.